Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to be here. And we use so much technology that that was me making that noise. I was looking. I opened this up. Let me see if it happens again. I opened that up. You might hear it again. Don't get scared. And I went to my PowerPoint. Okay. Didn't do it. Anyway, welcome. Welcome to Heather Bible Chapel. And also, I thank you for inviting me. I'm not regular speaker here, but I come about four times a year. You have to put up with me. And I think we have an interesting message. And I believe the Holy Spirit has already prepared us with two of our songs that we've sung. Two of our songs go along perfectly with the message, and the person who chose those songs did not know what I was speaking about. Now, the last time I spoke here, I talked about listening to God, and I was deaf. I came here from Argentina just a couple of weeks, and I got dinghy, and one of the features of dinghy, one of the gifts of dinghy, it's a mosquito that picks you, and you sometimes lose your hearing. For 2 weeks, I was completely deaf. Sordo. Nada. Rien. Nothing. I spoke. And after I had three or four people thank me for the message, and they said, you spoke quite loud. I said, well, I didn't hear myself. So, but anyway, here we are, and we have a very interesting message this morning. You're going to say, well, how does a preacher get his messages? Well, the Lord leads, I hope. I believe he taught me, told me, showed me I should speak about listening last 2 months ago because I couldn't hear. I have these things in here. What'd you say? I can't hear you. Oh, I'll put it back in. So to listen, I have to use this thing because I'm getting older. And so I spoke about listening. Now, today I'm going to be speaking about a subject that's not a sad subject, but for a lot of people, it's a very, very sad subject. And I might even go over today. I usually do 31, 32 minutes, but I did two messages on this subject. What is heaven and how to get there? Two messages. But since I'm not going to be here for two more months, I put the two together, so I might be about 5 or 7 minutes over, and I apologize before it happens. But so today we're going to talk about heaven. Now, if we're going to buy a house, let's say we buy a house. We want to buy a house. I want to buy a house. I came back to beautiful British Columbia in 1979. I've been away for about 15 years in the better province of Quebec, and I was going to buy a house. So I was looking at houses, and I wanted to know about the house. I wanted to know how the house was built. I wanted to go inside the house and look at it. I wanted to investigate. I wanted to look at the foundation. I wanted to get an examination of this and that and the other thing. Now, I'm going to be talking about heaven, but we know nothing about heaven. Now, see, it says here this house was for sale. It was sold. But do you know something? I'm telling you right off the bat before I get into my message, that we have a place in heaven and it's been paid for. It's sold. It's not for sale. You can go to heaven and you don't have to bring out your checkbook. So this morning, I'm excited about the subject because I don't remember the last time I spoke about heaven. But this is going to be our eternal home if you know Jesus. You're going to spend eternity in heaven. So we should know something about it. So what is heaven? What's heaven all about? Where is heaven? What is heaven? What is heaven really like? So I had some ideas, and my lovely sister here, we shared a little bit about it before the meeting. She comes early and I come early, and we just shared a few things about it. But you know, it says in John 3:13, no one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. So nobody has gone up to really up to heaven and come back down here to tell us about it. There's been some stories. I listened on the YouTubes and on Twitter and all of these things about heaven. People say that they've died, they've gone to heaven and come back. Well, I don't know. But the Bible, the Word of God, that's our basis. And we don't know. I don't know anybody personally that has gone up to heaven and come back. But we do have it in here. We have it in the Bible. And I'm looking forward to it. And I think I know a little bit more about it thanks to you people because I had to study. So I know I'm going to heaven. Why? We're going to talk about that later. But I know a little bit about heaven now. And that's the thing. You know, we have the Lord's Prayer. And in the Lord's Prayer it says, "And he said unto them, when you pray, our Father which art in heaven." So it says here, God is in heaven. Our Father is heaven. You know, on Father's Day, I don't celebrate Father's Day. Because I didn't have a father. I was a person that was conceived out of wedlock, and it was a one-night stand, and my biological father, Avita Zain Chow, arrivederci, he left my mother. So, but you know, I've had a father for the last just about 70 years, 69 years, no, 80 years, just about 80 years, 79 years ago, I was 10 years old, that's right, yeah. Anyway, God has been my father, and it says he's in heaven, and I'm going to go to be with my father in heaven. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy shall be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that has indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Our Father, which art in heaven, as in heaven. So heaven is a place, P-L-A-C-E, place. It's a real place. It's not just a figure of the imagination. It's just not a feeling. I just feel I'm in heaven today. It's more than that. It's a place that we're going to spend eternity. I'm going to spend eternity. Why am I going to spend eternity? We'll get to that later. But it's so exciting. The word heaven appears in the Bible numerous times. Through the exact count depends upon what translation. But anyway, it was over 582 times heaven is mentioned in the Bible. And now with Google and AI and all these things, you see, you just say, how many times is heaven mentioned in the Bible? 582. I mean, it's so easy to get it, but then you have to look it up, though. Don't always trust that. Don't always trust AI, please. But it gives you an idea. So it's mentioned over. It depends. In the New and International Version, it might be one more, one less. But it's so important. Jesus mentions the word heaven 84 times in the Bible. Jesus, my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, mentions it 84 times. So if he mentions it, it's true. 582 times. It's mentioned in 51 different books of the Bible. And over 550 times in the 44 of the 66 books of the Bible. I mean, it's so exciting. When you get into it, and I thank you for inviting me to come. And I thank you that the Lord gave on my heart. Now, maybe he put it on my heart because I'm going there. I don't know when, but you know, I'll be 80 next year. I know I look 60. You don't have to say that. Every time I mention my age, people say, but I'll be 80 next year, and I get it closer. And you know, I have more friends in heaven now than I have on earth. Think of it. I'm 80 years old, just about, and I can mention, I mean, I went to a funeral last week, met Mrs. McClellan, John McClellan's wife. Every week I just about get invited to a funeral. When I was in Argentina for 4 months, I had 21 people in Argentina, Quebec, and Vancouver, first name basis that died, 21. They're all going to heaven. And they're waiting for me. I'm convinced they're waiting for me. And last week when we had this funeral for this lovely Christian lady that was a spiritual mother to me, my wife did the sermon, and Ian McDowell's wife did the prayers and so on. And it was just awesome talking about her. But she went up to be with John McClellan. And John and Ina came down from Central Park Gospel Chapel to start Cascade Gospel Chapel. And they took me in because I was an orphan. I was an orphan. And they took me in. So they're waiting for me up there. Are you going? I'm going to tell you later on how to get there, so don't worry about it. I mean, the word heaven is mentioned so many times in the Bible, over 582 times, that sometimes the word is translated paradise. Sometimes it's sky. Sometimes it's firmament. Yeah, anyway. And sometimes it's called sky, and all these are some of the examples of it. I'm not going to bash you with the pronunciation of all these foreign words, but this is what they said. Paradise. I'm going to go to paradise. And it's not in Mexico. It's in heaven. I'm going to go to heaven. I'm going to, with a firmament. These are words used for the word heaven in the Bible. And as you study each one of them, you get more excited and more excited and more excited. And it's a place that you can look forward to. I'm going on holidays next week. I'm looking forward to going to Campbell River. You can't even compare Campbell River to heaven. But I'm looking forward to it. But I'm looking more forward to go to heaven. And I'm not scared of going to heaven, because my ticket's been paid. We'll talk about that later. No eye has seen, ear has heard, mind conceived what God has prepared for those who loved him. It's going to be hard to explain to you a little bit about heaven, because it is so vast, so beautiful, so wonderful. Now, I know the young people, I'm glad the young people are here. God bless each one of you. And I know you don't think about heaven as much as I do, because you've got maybe a long journey if the Lord doesn't come before you get 80, 90 years old. But I was talking about this to a friend of mine, George Rich, this week. George Rich is in a home care for elderly, and he's 102. And, you know, he's looking forward to heaven. And he says he's got one foot in heaven already. But we're going to have both feet in heaven together in the not too distant future, if the Lord doesn't come. What has God prepared for us? He has prepared paradise. He has prepared something not up there. You think of heaven, you think of a cloud, and you think of sitting on a cloud playing a harp. That's not heaven. That's Hollywood. Heaven. Wow. Just think of it. Try to imagine it. Just think of spending eternity in heaven. Wow. What does Billy Graham say about heaven? The moment we have taken our last breath on earth, we take our first breath in heaven. Heaven is a wonderful place, and the benefits for the believer are out of this world. Out of this world. That's sort of a pun, you know. Out of this world. Heaven. Out of this world. Yeah. I will not go to heaven because I am a preacher. I am going to heaven entirely on the merit of the work of God. And we're going to talk about that in detail. Heaven. There's many books about heaven. I'm not going to recommend any but the Word of God. But these are books I read on heaven. David Jeremiah, Billy Graham, Greg Laurie, John MacArthur, Charles Stanley. They have all books on heaven, and I've read most of them preparing for this. I've had 2 months to prepare this. But I recommend the Bible. Recommend. Get into it. Get a concordance. Go on Google, even. Sorry, go on Google and say, where's heaven found in the Bible? It'll give you all of the answers. The verses, not the answers. The answers is in the Bible. It's in the Bible. That's where you find your answers. Because there's so much misunderstanding, misteaching about the heaven. But the Bible is the way to go. The Bible says, the first line of the Bible states, the heaven is created alone with the creation of the earth. Genesis was. It is primary God's dwelling place in the biblical translation, a parallel realm where everything operates according to God's will. Right in Genesis chapter 1 in the Bible, it talks about hell, heaven, that it's a dwelling place. It's a real place. It's an honest place. But you are not home yet. Let me tell you this story. There was this missionary, and this missionary preached and taught for years and years and years in Africa. And he sacrificed. He had one child that died of malaria. He had so much problem. But then he got old. He got 80 years old. And he had to come home to Canada from Africa. And on the same plane, there was this very well-known rich person that was coming back from hunting in Africa. And he was famous. Oh, he was famous. Well, they got off the plane, and there was 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 people welcoming this hunter, this famous person. They were clapping their hands, they had music, and they were welcoming home. And the missionary got off the plane, and his wife. And they passed, and all these people yelling and shouting and screaming and welcoming. And the missionary was a little bit discouraged. You know, he said to his wife, look, if this fellow goes out hunting, he's got all this people welcoming him home, and here we've come home after years and years and years and years of sacrifice. And nobody's here to welcome us. Sad story. Sad story. But his wife, she says, you're not home yet. He wasn't home yet. Heaven is his home. When he gets to home, when he gets to heaven, and he receives those crowns for his years of service, then there'll be acclamation. Then there'll be clapping. Then there'll be raw. And then he'll be able to take those crowns off and put them at the feet of his Savior. Because all of those years in Africa, he was serving Jesus. But he had a home in heaven. This home, this terrestrial place wasn't his home. That rich person went hunting. Maybe he got a moose or a deer. I don't know what he was hunting. Our citizenship is in heaven. See, I've been to 75 countries. And fortunate or unfortunately for Canada, everybody thinks Canada is like Ron Edgecombe. Because, of course, when I travel, I wear flags. Because we are loved. We were talking to another person how much we are loved in Canada when we travel. And I try to tell people in a nice way that even though I am a Canadian, even though when they were playing against Argentina and I was rooting, come on Canada, come on. We lost the cup, but that's okay. We lost a soccer game, but I was rooting for Canada because I'm a Canadian. But you know, my real home is in heaven. My real home is in heaven. And when I tell people in all of these different countries, yes, I'm a Canadian, but I'm a citizen of heaven. This world isn't my home. And we're going to listen to that in a few minutes because it's powerful. It's powerful. So Hebrews 11:13 says, all these people died still believing what God had promised them. They did not receive what was promised, but they saw it all from a distance and welcomed it. They agreed that they were foreigners and nomads on this earth. Are you a foreigner? Or are you so busy trying to get a bigger house, a better house, a new car, a better business, climbing the executive ladder? Are you so busy here that you've lost sight of your heavenly home? I hope not. These things are good, don't get me wrong. We have to work. We have to strive. What a testimony for some of these people. So this person says here, Paul, in Hebrews, they agreed they were foreigners and nomads on this earth. Then Peter puts it this way, 1 Peter 2 and 11, dear friends, I warn you as temporary residents and foreigners to keep away from worldly desires that wage war against your very soul. Look at that. Dear friends, I warn you, temporary residency. I have permanent residency in Argentina. I can go and come and go and come, and I don't have to pay the visa. But I have permanent residency up in heaven, and it's been paid for. And I don't need a passport. It's already all been taken care of. I didn't have to go to the register and register for a passport. I didn't have to pay for a visa. Jesus paid the visa. Jesus paid for the passport. And he's the one that's given me a place in heaven. What is heaven like? Revelation 21:4 says, he who wiped every tear from their eyes, and there was no more tears or death, sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever. Now that's one thing I'm looking forward to, because I've had two hip operation, knee operation, open heart surgery for hernias. I go through a machine going to an airport. And they all come rushing because I've got metal here, metal here, metal here. And they took my heart out 4 years ago. I think they put it back. I hope they did. But you know, those things don't bother me. Because when I go to heaven, all of those things won't matter. In heaven, I'm going to be able to dance in heaven. I couldn't dance now because of my two metal hips. Isn't it going to be wonderful? Look at what heaven's going to be like. Look at, that's what we've got to look forward to. Here's another verse it talks. Heaven is unfathomable to the human mind. Heaven is a place that defines our imagination. That's heaven. In 1 Corinthians 2 and 9 it says, God tells us, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. God has prepared. He says, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there ye may be also. So he's prepared us a beautiful place. Hence, whatever we can imagine heaven to be, it isn't it. It is vastly superior to anything our mind can conjure up. Let's listen to this song. I hope it works. Just sit back, relax. The young people won't know it, but we older people will know it. See if we can get it going here. It might. Remember? 10, 20, 30 years ago?
This world is not my home. I'm just a passenger.
Enjoy it.
Treasures are later.
Somewhere beyond the blue.
Woohoo! The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't be at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what would I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door.
Did you enjoy that? That is true. That is honestly true, what he's singing. That's not biblical what he sang, but it is biblical, the truth of what he sang. I mean, that's not scripture, but it's scripture put in his song. And we can look forward to that. I personally, all my life, haven't felt completely at home here in Canada. Maybe because of my childhood and, you know, two fathers, four mothers, and all those kind of things. I'm sure looking forward to heaven. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Won't that be, enjoy a true fellowship with God. We're going to have that fellowship with God eternity. Have you ever sat down, have you ever got down on your knees and you prayed and you don't want to get up. I mean, I can't get up now because of my age, but you're down there and you don't want to get up. You're in the presence of God. That's going to be for eternity. I know that's hard to get conceived. What I'm saying, dear brothers and sisters, is that our physical bodies cannot inherit the kingdom of God. These dying bodies cannot inherit what lasts forever. We're going to have glorious bodies. I can't explain it all, but it's in the Bible. It says we are going to have glorious bodies. New spiritual heavenly body. New spiritual heavenly bodies. And the whole subject, if we stayed here all afternoon, we couldn't even touch the iceberg of it. The Bible says, when I was a child, I spoke and thought and reasoned as a child. But when I grew up, I put all my childish things away. Now we see things imperfectly, like dazzling reflections in a mirror. But then we will see everything with perfect clarity. Heavenly thought is that we will see everything in perfect clarity. And all that I know now is partial and incomplete. But when I know everything completely, just as God now knows me completely. Three things will last: faith, love, and hope. And the greatest thing of these is love. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully. This is heaven. This is heaven. Do you want to go? I'm going. I'm going. Now, last time I talked about listening. But listen, I want to talk to you now how to get there. How do you get to heaven? Train, bus, plane? How to get to heaven? That's the question. A teacher was drilling a class in Sunday school. And the teacher said, how do we get to heaven? And she says, if I'm good as a mother, as a woman teaching Sunday school, if I'm good as a mother, will I get to heaven? And the children said, no. She said, well, if I give Red Cross my blood, will I go to heaven? The children says, no. And she asked all these questions, and the children were very intelligent. But there was a new kid come to class, and he was sitting in the back, and he puts his hand up. He says, teacher. First time in Sunday school, he said, the only way to get to heaven, you have to die. It's true in a way, but God might come before we die and bring us up to heaven. But that little child, he didn't understand, and I hope you will understand after today's session together, that we can be sure of going to heaven. And if we do die, we can be assured of going to heaven. All of these funerals I'm going to these days is a happy event for the first person. Not necessarily for me. I'm selfish. I didn't want Mrs. McClellan or Mrs. McKenzie or Mr. Schoberg or Mr. Drozio. And I can go on and on and on. I didn't want them to. I loved them. They were fathers and mothers to me. But they went home. So I'm happy for them because they're in paradise. They're with Jesus. And that's why I'm not sad about dying. People say, well, all those countries, I could talk all afternoon of things, planes that just about fall out of the air, planes come to the end of the runway that go into the... I had so many different events, but I was never scared because I knew what was before me. Yes? When we die, where are you going to spend eternity? Where? Now, are you prepared to heaven? Are you prepared? That's an interesting thing. Now, how many of you use AirPods? Come on now, be honest. How many of you use these? Yeah, look at all the young people. What's wrong with you old guys? I use it all the time. I put it in here and I got my phone. And,
I like it. That's a great iPod. That's a great... Oh, the music is so good. Yeah.
And think, but there's a problem. What happens if I leave? What happens if I leave my phone there?
What happened to the music? What happened to the music? It's gone. I can't hear anything. See, with that, I have to be, this is hard to maybe understand for some. I have to be paired. I have to be paired up with that. The music's coming back. The music, I have to be joined with. I have the word in technical language, I have to be paired, P-A-I-R-E-D, paired. I'm paired with this. And it's just like going to heaven. You have to be prepared, but you also have to be paired, joined with Jesus. You get what I'm trying to explain? Now, the translation, I don't know. I tried it in French, Spanish, English. I have no trouble. But anyway, I am paired with this telephone. But the most important thing is I'm paired with God. I'm joined to God. I'm part of God. I'm near God. He's with me. We're together. Even though he's in heaven and I'm on earth, I'm paired with him. Are you paired with him? Are you prepared to go to heaven? And are you paired with him? Both things have to be in sync. I mean, these things are useless in here. I don't know. What happened to them? Oh, that was nice music I was listening to. Oh, I'm preaching. Yeah, I forgot. But you understand what I'm saying? We have to be paired, P-A-I-R-E-D, paired with God, with Jesus. And we get paired with him through his son, Jesus. That's why I'm paired with God, and I'm prepared to go to heaven because of what Jesus did for me on the cross of Calvary. I hope you picked that up. Are you listening, as we said 2 months ago, to him? Is your phone paired with the AirPods? Are you prepared? I am. Now, am I prepared because I'm a preacher? No way, Jose, because I tell people it's much easier to preach it than to practice it. And I'm really not preaching right now. I'm just telling what God's put on my heart. And I'm saying to you what I say to myself. And I don't point ever fingers because there's three fingers pointing at me and one at God. So I'm not pointing my fingers at any of you. I'm saying I am prepared and I'm paired thanks to God giving his son to me. So I am prepared. I am paired with God. We're together on this. Can we be paired? Can we be paired? Yes, we can be. We can be paired with your master. You can be joined together with him. You can be one with him. Heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. Let's look at that. So look at, try to, I hope I'm not talking too much. But and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. It is so important. This message is so important. We saw what heaven is like, paradise. No more sorrow, no more tears, no more crying. I go to prepare a place for you. Jesus' disciples were greatly distressed about his departing. Remember? He was on the mountain. He was just going to go back to his home, to his Father in heaven. And he gives us this verse. They were discouraged. They had just crucified their Savior. They had put him on a cross. But Jesus said, don't worry. I'm going to go and I'm going to prepare a place for you. Prepare for heaven. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's what it's all about. Jesus issued, believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. So he's told us that there's a mansion waiting for us. There's a prepared place. We have to trust.
Not in ourselves. Not in philosophy and psychology or all of those wonderful things. But we have to trust him.
We have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ.
And you'll be saved. Are you trusting him? Are you believing in him?
I am. Been years and every day it's better. I love him better every day. He is so precious to me. Trust and obey. You can't obey what you do not trust. And you're not trusting if you do not obey. You can't obey what you do not trust.
And you are not trusting if you do not obey.
It's all here, friends. This afternoon, before you have your siesta, well, you probably don't have siesta, I will, a nice hour and a half. But before you have your siesta, check it out. Check it out. It's wonderful. Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. There ain't any other way. You ain't going out of heaven if you don't trust in Jesus. People say, no, you have to trust in this thing or that thing or the other thing. No, only him. If you are coming to Christ, who is the living cornerstone of God's temple, he was rejected by people, but he was chosen by God for great honor. He was God's chosen one. No one has ever gone to heaven and returned, but the Son of Man has come down from heaven. God himself in
the form of Jesus came to earth. He lived here for 33 years, perfect man, never sinned, and he died on a cross for you and for me individually, personally. And that's not just Heather's doctrine. That's biblical doctrine. That's why Heather Bible Chapel believes it. Because Heather Bible Chapel believes the book.
And it's the most important thing. Hebrews 4:15. This high priest of ours understood our weakness, for he faced all of the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. That's Jesus. I goof every day. I sin every day. I love 1 John 1:9 as my favorite verse. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I love that verse. I use it quite often. I'm far, far from perfect. If you only knew. Jesus' sacrifice for our sin. Religion will not get you to heaven. Staying away from strong drink will not get you to heaven. Church attendance will not get you to heaven. A good thing, though. You're here. God bless you. I hope you are blessed. But being born again will get you there. It's only through that. There was a man named Nicodemus, a Jewish religious leader who was a Pharisee. After dark, one night, he came to Jesus. Rabbi, he said. He didn't want people to know. He was a rabbi. He was a Jewish leader. And so he goes at nighttime. He wants to see Jesus. He says, Rabbi, he said, we all know that God has sent you to teach us your miracle signs and evidence that God is with you. And Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. Unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. You cannot go to heaven. You cannot be with me for eternity. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For there is not a just man upon the earth, not that does not good and sinneth not. Now these are biblical verses. But we all are as unclean things and are all unrighteousness as filthy rags. And we do fade as a leaf. and only inquires. Let the wind take us away. And this is what the Bible says. It is written, there is no righteous, no, not one. It's a very interesting that Billy Graham tells a story about his early ministry. And he asked a young man standing by the sidewalk of a local post office. He asked the man, he says, where is the Baptist church? I've got to speak at a Baptist church. And the kid was standing beside this post office. And Billy Graham says to him, well, I've got to speak at a Baptist church today. Where's the Baptist church? And I don't think that the young boy really understood what he was saying. He says, well, you have to go down the street, you have to go to the left or the right. So Billy Graham says to the young man, he says, well, do you know where heaven is? And the child said, no. He says, well, Billy Graham said, well, can I tell you about heaven? He said, well, if you don't know where the Baptist church is, how do you know where heaven is? See, we know where heaven is. We don't know where the Baptist church is. We don't know where this place or that place or the other place is, but we know where heaven is. And that's the important thing. That's the important thing. Where is the post office? Where is the Baptist church? Doesn't matter. Where is heaven with God, with Jesus? And that's the important thing. We get to heaven because of one man. Can you believe that? Because of one man, we can get to heaven. Yet to all who received him, to those who believe in his name, he gives the right to become a child of God. See, I was adopted when I was 2 years old. They took me out of a crib at an orphanage, and this man adopted me. And then with him and his wife, they took me home, and I was adopted. Well, after 5 years, my mother, second mother, she left my father. So I was alone with my father and another adopted boy, Jerry. And 2 years later, my dad remarried. And believe it or not, my third mother adopted me because she thought that was the right thing to do. Well, for 5 years, 6 years, we were together. It was a wonderful little family. And then she left my father. And then my dad remarried. Anyway, we won't go into that. But the idea here is that I was adopted once into the family of God when I was 10 years old. I was up at Amalina Bible Camp, David Point Bible Camp, and I realized that I was a sinner. I realized I wasn't a big sinner. I stole a cookie now and then, but I never killed anybody. But for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, it says in the Bible. And I'm in the all. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And that's what got me to heaven. Jesus Christ is the answer. Jesus Christ is the way to heaven. We must believe in one man, that if you confess your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that Jesus raised him from the dead, you will be saved. The man Christ Jesus. Now, that's where to accept Jesus in your heart today and you will be saved. Now, if you haven't accepted Jesus, why not accept him today? Right now. Right where you are. You don't have to stand up. You don't have to put your hand up. You don't have to come down the aisle. You don't have to. All you have to do is say, Lord Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. Save me. Woo! And you know what will happen? You'll go to heaven with me. If he came today, you would go to heaven. If you die in 5 years, 10 years, you're going to go to heaven because you've confessed your sins. And you will be obedient to him because you confessed your sins. Jesus is the way, the truth. One man paid the price over 2,000 years ago on an old rugged cross. For you, for me. Why not accept him today? You maybe have heard this message over the years and you know it. It's like ABC. Like I said this morning when we read Psalm 23, Every time I hear that, I just go crazy. I love it. And you might have heard this message, but have you really said, Lord Jesus Christ, come into my heart, come in today, come in this day, come into my heart, Lord. He will. And you will have a place in heaven. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for heaven, Heavenly Father, paradise. No more sorrow, no more crying. We thank you for that, Lord. No more hurting, no more killing, no more wars. And we thank you, Lord, that you have gone to prepare a place for us. And we pray, Heavenly Father, if there's anyone in this congregation that has never accepted your Son as their personal, private, individual Savior, they might do it today. And those of us who do know you, may we revel this afternoon. May we rejoice this afternoon that our place is reserved for us in heaven. The ticket has been paid. Thank you, Father, for Jesus. And we ask you and give you our thanks. In his name, amen.